If you've ever suffered chronic pain, then you're well aware of the prescription drug practice called step therapy. Sometimes called fail first, health insurers require that chronic pain patients try and fail on more than two pain medications before he or she can access the pain medication prescribed by their physician. But legislation introduced by Marin Assembly member Jared Huffman seeks to end step therapy. Joining us to discuss it and the merits of this legislation are Patrick Johnson, who is CEO of the California Association of Health Plans, and Elizabeth Helms, the CEO of California Chronic Care Coalition. Welcome both of you to Insight.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
Elizabeth Helms, what is step therapy, and why do you support ending it?
Well, it's a barrier to access to care. It's when a doctor, when a patient is seeing a doctor for a specific reason, the doctor is not allowed to make the decision on what he may feel is the best medicine the first time out. He has to go through several steps, which means the patient has to try maybe an alternate medicine to the one he would choose first, second, third time before they can actually get to the medicine that the doctor would like to prescribe for them.
And what do they have to prescribe pain medications, but just pain medications they know aren't going to work?
In some cases, I would imagine yes, because those are the rules that they have to follow by. And even if a doctor would give a prescription to a patient, they take it to the pharmacy, and it's the medicine the doctor wants to give. The patient can, at the pharmacy, pharmacists can come back and say to the patient, sorry, this is not covered by your health plan.
Okay, so this sounds a little Kafka-esque almost. What was the purpose of doing it this way in the first place?
Well, I think the health plans could explain that better because we don't understand it. It's a way to save money.
Well, then let's ask Patrick Johnson. You're the CEO of California Association of Health Plans. What is the background of step therapy, and why has it been on the books for as long as it has?
Step therapy is the safe course in many cases, but not all, for a patient to take a less risky medicine and then move up if that medicine doesn't work. The fact is that there is an enormous increase in prescription drug addiction in the United States and in California. And by moving through the steps from less addictive to potentially addictive, serious drugs, it is a safer way to proceed. And there's a system in place where the physician can move more quickly through those steps and get a health plan's approval to go immediately to a different specific drug, or go to the Department of Managed Health Care, which can resolve these disputes independently and order the drug if there is evidence that this would be the safest and best course for the patient.
So in other words, if somebody has, and we're talking about chronic pain now, we're not talking about after having a filling or even surgery, we're talking about people who are in pain all the time for years and years, is that correct?
Well, back pain in particular, but many forms of pain afflict millions and millions of people in the United States. Some of it is acute, and much of it is chronic. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the clinical judgment is all important in figuring out what the type of pain is, the severity, what the likely duration is, what side effects there may be. There is much research, but much that is not known with respect to any individual patient. What health plans with their physician partners do is try and set up a protocol or system where you move conservatively from medication to medication. The alternative is to allow too quickly too many people to get medicines that may reduce the pain but might impose on the person a dependency that we find is causing much addiction and problems here in California.
And that's because a lot of the pain medications are narcotics or opiates or artificial opiates.
That's correct.
Okay. Elizabeth Helms,
sure.
what What's your position is that you want to see this go away. You support this bill, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And I can speak personally on addictive pain medicines because I'm a person that lives with chronic pain.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I have at times had major spikes and had to have surgery several years ago. I was put on opiates, which is addictive. And I had no addiction to that medicine. As my doctor stated, as I needed to come off of it, he worked with me to come off of it. I had no problem. And my doctor, the patient-doctor relationship is a key factor here. Because the patient, if the doctor says, what's your level of pain? If it's 0 to 10, 10 being the highest, you know, 0 being the lowest. And a person comes in and says, my pain is at an 8, and I can't work today. My pain is exceeding, and I look at it as activity and energy. And when the body has to deal with energy to deal with pain rather than energy to work with productivity, everybody loses. When you have a doctor that is working with a patient to manage and titrate to the level of pain medicine that they need to be productive, there shouldn't be a problem with that.
Patrick Johnson, this does seem as though it's getting in between the patient and the doctor, doesn't it?
The doctor is in control in all cases, and clinical judgment matters. What we are talking about is a protocol in which a person has pharmacy coverage benefits, a person has chronic or acute pain, and the physician has a range of medications. And in advance, the protocols say that when you're dealing with these highly addictive, potentially dangerous medications, that other medications are tried first. But that protocol, or that step, if you will, is under the control of the doctor, and the doctor can accelerate it either by going directly to the plan or going to the state for an independent review, and that can be on an emergency basis and be done within 3 to 7 days for chronic pain. So having structures that are evidence-based, also reviewing of FDA guidelines are important. In fact, some medications like Bextra was subject to step therapy. Some people complained about it. The health plan that insisted on a step therapy turned out to be right, and it was pulled off the market because of danger to patients. So being conservative with medications that are powerful is a good thing.
We're speaking about a new bill introduced by Assemblymember Jared Huffman that seeks to end what's called step therapy. I'm speaking with Patrick Johnston, the CEO of California Association of Health Plans, and Elizabeth Helms, the CEO of California Chronic Care Coalition. I noted that the California Medical Association, the California Nurses Association, and the American Pain Foundation all support this bill, AB 369. Given that support, why has it even taken this long to end the practice? That sounds like a lot of pretty key players. Elizabeth?
Well, sure. Actually, you know, pain has been coming up for many, many years. And when I started in advocacy back in the early 90s, there was a discussion. Leroy Green had to work on a pain, you know, because people couldn't access. And there was discussions about triplicates. And this has been going on for a very, very long time. The problem is, and I want to address what Mr. Johnson just stated, that, it, you know, if it takes 1 to 7 days, that could be the difference in someone having one or two emergency room visits. It could be the difference in someone saying, I can't handle this anymore. I'm not getting the pain that I need. I can't get into my doctor. And they commit suicide. There are lots of issues here that are more than just, you know, a denial to the first step. Or you have to go to the first step while you're getting denied. What the doctor, and here again, the doctor and the patient together make the decision on what would be the best by the patient being open and discuss what the problem is, where their pain level is, and the doctor understanding what does that mean to that person. Pain is personal. Every person is different. and it needs to be addressed different.
Does it look to you as though this bill is going to pass, Elizabeth?
Yes.
Patrick Johnson?
I would believe it would. I would believe it would. I mean, you never know when something's going through the legislature, and you never know if the governor's going to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worthy of being passed, and it's worthy of being signed into law.
And Patrick Johnston, what's your take on the likelihood?
Well, if the legislature and the governor look at the fact that we have a protocol, there isn't a problem that can't be solved now with the existing system, and that cocaine and heroin cause far less deaths than prescription drugs. The celebrities are in the news constantly about drug overdose, but in fact, in the last 10 years, there was a 400% increase in people receiving treatment for addiction to prescription painkillers. It's prescription painkillers that are getting into our schools, and kids are using them. And unfortunately, people who have real pain sometimes are becoming addicted to them. This is a safe protocol. There are alternative ways for people to get the medication by using the existing channels. We would hope that we took the safe course, not just responded to what is admittedly serious pain problems by some individuals who can avail themselves of the system we have.
And we have links to more information on the subject of step therapy on our website, capradio.org/insight. Elizabeth Helms, Patrick Johnston, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much
for
having me.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, members of the cast of Forbidden Broadway visit our studio.